Mine's a two.
So, Joe.
So,
Ira. Oh, welcome back to the Ho Heineken studio, which I don't think we've ever mentioned on this podcast before, but it's where we record.
I see that you guys have upgraded to cute little fox stickies.
Yeah, well, that's that would really be my cute. Wife's stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a lie. It's mine. So welcome back.
Thank
it's
you.
It's so good
you
to
know,
be here
it's,
doing
it's
this
great.
Again.
I got called out the other day. I got called the worst thing I've ever been called in my life. A Giants fan.
Oh,
yeah.
How did
this
that
guy's
happen?
Like this.
Do
this
tell.
I was, obviously I've been really busy. I've had like one day off in the last month and a half, and that day off I spent at my sister's graduation.
Right.
And went up to Northern California, saw my buddy who's a Giants fan, and he's like, "Man, you haven't been watching the A's? You're like one of these bandwagon Giants fans."
Oh man, I bet that had to hurt.
That was hurt. I almost punched him in the face.
Yeah, that's like a black and orange knife just sticking right
so
into
you. I got to get my game
green
back,
and gold
man.
Heart.
I gotta get my game back.
Well, your street cred is back in the black, my friend,
yeah.
Now that we're here. Welcome, everybody, to Green Collar Podcast, your for fans, by fans, the only in the world of the green and gold. Not any longer the worst team in baseball. Hallelujah.
Pretty close.
If I had a soundboard right now, I would do like hallelujah sounds or maybe cheers or something. Yeah, because who's worse than us?
The Red Sox, I think?
The Red Sox, are actually, the Red Sox might be a half game better than
us. I think we were the worst in the American
White
League, right?
White Sox. No. Not even in the American
baseball?
League anymore.
All of baseball.
No, not. Well, yeah,
just
and then
the
there's
American
a couple.
League.
There's like two or three teams
okay,
in the
so
National League.
We're no longer
us.
The worst in the American League. And I think the Red
and
Sox.
And no longer. I believe the last time we recorded this, we were the worst in baseball. So now there's like four or five teams that are worse than us.
Well, things
yes.
are turning around, my friend.
Yes. That puts us in the top 25, yo.
Yeah. But
we
lose our number one pick if we maintain this momentum.
I remember hearing a few years ago someone talking about the Dolphins needing to suck for luck when Andrew Luck was going into the draft. And I don't know why, but I keep thinking about suck for luck in terms of our game. But you know what? We have breaking news for the first time ever on the Green Collar Podcast, Joe, because as we're recording this, the game in Oakland has just finished. And guess who gave up two runs but managed to not give up the third tying run and close out the game?
Tyler Clippard.
Did his job.
Thank God.
So we won. We won two out of three from the Angels.
It should have been a sweep, but I'll take it.
No, I was just going to say that. I mean, that feels good after that game.
Angels aren't that great of a team, but...
Agreed. I agree that as the season has gone on, they've got two big threats, which is that Albert Pujols is finally playing like he used to play.
That was a monster home run.
Yeah, that he hit today, or the grand slam that he
I didn't
hit.
Really appreciate, well, both, but I didn't really appreciate that little stare he gave. He was walking down the first base line. At least give it some flair, like Ricky,
like
he
Ricky,
put on a dance.
You know,
with the
jersey pull.
Yeah, a little jersey pull.
The angle into first base. Agreed. Yeah, I hate Albert Pujols, and I hate Mike Trout so much because he's so good. Anyway, so first segment today, it's been... 4 weeks, I think.
It's been a long time.
Shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step to.
Oh.
And so a lot has happened. So what we were going to kind of do was, I guess, just kind of recap where we've come from. I believe, in our pre-gaming when we were talking about the podcast, it seems to me that you're right, that right now, depending on whether or not the outcome of the Astros-Mariners game, which I haven't looked at, so I don't know if the Astros won or lost, that we're about where we were before, 10.5 back. Maybe we picked up a game and maybe we're 9.5. I think that's the farthest we've caught up to them, though. Even in this stretch that the Astros were struggling, was about 9.5 back from them. Which is a little frustrating. But I don't know. It's to me, eyeball test. It seems like our team's starting to play a little better. What about you? How do you feel that this last month has gone?
I've been feeling really good about the team. I think we have a really solid team. I think our team is so much better than our record. I think we've been decimated, obviously, by a crappy bullpen and and injuries.
And some key injuries.
But things are turning around.
Even particularly for the bullpen, some key injuries with the bullpen.
Yeah. We've had a rough go with the bullpen. But you look at our errors, our defense, other than the four errors we gave up, what, Friday, I think? Overall, it seems to be turning around. Laurie is starting to hit. Simeon is back. Not Simeon.
Yeah, Zobrist. Simeon's actually fading right now.
Zobrist is back.
Zobrist is back. And hit, dude, someone threw out, like, Susan Slusser or John Hickey or somebody threw out that in the month of June. Actually, maybe it was the Angels broadcast that we're talking about Laurie. I think he's been hitting, like, .330 in the month of June.
Yeah. So that's
his
refreshing.
His average is climbing.
So we're definitely turning it around. We're definitely above .500 team since since Zobrist came back, actually. So things are looking good. Are they looking great? I don't know, because we still don't have a bullpen.
That's where I would step in, and that's kind of my sense of this team. I think this team is playing the way right now that they should have been playing from the get-go. I think this team, as the season has unfolded, I mean, I tallied it up, actually. And this was just me tallying it up on my own. I wasn't using some actual stats program, so this may be slightly off. But from the last time we podcasted, so that was, the last podcast was May 18th. So from May 18th to now, which is basically a month, we have been 16-15, which is one game over 500. And I think that that's about, you know, this team. I don't know if you recall, what was it, 2010, I think, we ended the year as a 500 team. That's the kind of team that this strikes me as. And unfortunately, it's because of two very specific reasons. It's our bullpen and our defense. And every so often, those are the lockdown things that we don't have that are not going to let us go on an 8-game winning streak. This team, to me, eyeball test, seems completely incapable of rattling off 8 wins in a row.
When it seems like when we win pretty big.
Right.
Like our offense shows up.
But then the next day we have, like, our offense shows up. But we, you know, but we commit four errors, you know, and the bullpen completely melts down. So it's not what the anomaly was, that was happening every day for that stretch, you know, in late April into May. At least now in the second half of May and into June, it seems like that has at least stopped.
I think you look at our record in regards to one run games, and it's some, last time I checked, it was 18-4.
Yeah.
And you're four and 18.
Yeah.
18-4 would be amazing.
That's,
but if you're going to have four wins and 18 losses within one run, you're just not going to make the playoffs. You're just not going to be a 500 team.
Unfortunately, that's just bad luck.
It's defense and it's bullpen.
Right, and those little things that become super glaring, you know,
and then it's a confidence that turns into a confidence
issue. No, absolutely.
You have your starting pitchers, they get into the seventh, eighth inning, and they know they have to be perfect, because if they're not, they get
right.
one runner
and,
on
right and our bullpen is never going to be locked down.
Look what happened to Sonny Gray on Friday, you know, left with the bases loaded and a 5-run lead.
Man,
all of a sudden,
rough.
You know, there's a seven runs or whatever it was in that inning, and
eight. The Eight. Snowman. They dropped the snowman.
They dropped the snowman. That's right.
That's my new favorite phrase.
It's frustrating. Yeah. We should win that game.
No, totally.
But the good thing is we came back the very next day and we won a 4-1 game.
And
we
came
back
today
and won a very close one-run game.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on to our next segment. Speaking of the halfway mark in the All-Star game, we're a couple weeks away. We're in the middle of All-Star voting. Across baseball, the big story about voting is the fact that 8 of the 9 starters on the All-Star team at this point are the Royals, which is bull.
Yeah, how does that, is that fans? Like, what?
Yeah. So there's a lot of
people that are up
in arms about it.
Is it really nothing to do in Kansas City but vote for players?
Yeah, apparently, like, man. Apparently. And apparently they've been, like, cheating. So there's, that's like, even with, like, I think they said 3.5 million votes not counting, they still have 8 of the 9 starters. And I think the only one who isn't is Mike Trout.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
That's terrible.
But anyway,
it's going to be the lowest rated all-star team or all-star game
ever
in history.
Right.
And we're going to
lose.
Where
is it this year?
I have no idea.
Oh man, I don't even know where that. We are terrible.
We're terrible.
If the A's were hosting it, we would know.
I'm an A's fan.
Speaking of,
not an MLB
the
fan.
The question for the segment is, who would you put roster as it is right now? We won't talk about, you know, try to conjecture trades at this point, which are definitely possible before the All-Star break. But roster as it is now, who would you say would be our All-Stars?
I mean, vote. Without a doubt.
Yeah, did you know that he is currently tied for the major league lead for RBIs?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
With some guy named
Cabrera.
And
you know, some no-name.
I haven't really
Cabrera. I don't know who he is.
And his average is still pretty high. I mean, it's like, 280, 290 something? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, he's
but
not
it's gone down
330
a little bit,
anymore.
But that's okay.
Right.
You know, his production is still up. If you put him head-to-head with the, what's his name, from the Royals, the catcher?
Salvador Perez.
Perez, that's right.
Yeah.
And actually, there was a tweet. I don't know who tweeted this out. It was one of the A's reporters, I think.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, where they were comparing.
We compared him, and
who
and
was
Bo,
worthy of? Yeah, I know exactly the article
like,
you're talking about.
It had average slugging percentage.
Yeah, he leads like everything.
Walk to strikeout ratio, and it wasn't even the average was close, but everything else, Bo won.
Yeah,
I think it was like 14 home runs to 10, and Salvador Perez's walk to strikeout ratio is horrendous. It's like 4 to
offensively,
like
there's no question there. Yeah. I would love to see an analysis defensively, because I actually would argue that Vogt is at best an average catcher. You may hate me for that, but that's my impression. He doesn't throw out a ton of runners. I don't think he's that spectacular at blocking balls. And I'm not so sure about his pitch framing either. That last one, I don't really know that much.
Well,
about.
That's always been the knock on Vogt, right? I mean, there was a great ESPN article the other day about Vogt and Matt and his old manager from the Rays, Tampa Bay Rays, said that he's always had the bat. It was a matter
right,
of whether
matter
he could get his glove in order.
What
and
I would argue
catch.
Though is I don't. Obviously, he can play catcher. He is our catcher, and he's done a good job. Oh, God. Okay, so we're back. Technical difficulties. Joe is having a dance party over there.
That's right.
Okay, so you pick Joe. you picked.
I mean, if I could, I would love to go.
I pick Ira for the All-Star team. You picked Vogt.
Obvious choice. I mean, if I had to pick one, it would be.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
Sonny Gray as well.
I
mean, I just. A's and sending pitchers to the All-Star game goes hand in hand, you know? And
right. Meaning it's more special when we get a position player.
It's more special when we get a position player, and I always like to see our position players going. And I think Sonny Gray is going to go too. Those would be my two. It's hard to pick two All-Stars from a team with our record, but I think those two should go.
See, I would argue – I don't think I would pick any different. But what I would say is I would argue that they absolutely deserve to go, even though we are this poor of a team. Sonny Gray, up until the bullpen giving up those four additional runs.
And he's still under two ERA.
Right, and he's still got to be top 10 in the league, but he was leading all of baseball in ERA.
Yeah.
And that's no small feat, man. He's looked so good. I agree. I think our all-stars are Sonny Gray and Stephen Vogt. Stephen Vogt's getting in. It's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
He's getting in.
You can't deny him.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I guess the only one that would be awesome to see would be Billy Burns.
Yeah.
Because he's been so good.
Reddick would be great, too.
He doesn't have enough time up there. Reddick would be cool, too, but Reddick...
If we had a better record, if
Reddick
we were
leading is kind
the league,
of that second-tier star right now. Do you know what I mean? He hasn't put up the gaudy numbers that get you in if, you know, the only... So what we're talking about is not necessarily predictions of who we're going to get in, but who we would like to get in. Would I like to see Reddick in because of his first half of this year? I would, yeah. I mean, he's almost hitting 300. He's on pace to, I think, hit 30 home runs this year. I don't believe his RBI are as great, but that's, you know, kind of beside the point. That's really a factor of who's hitting behind. And he hasn't been up in, you know, up in the order as much as Vogt. So anyway, I agree. That's what I'm saying. And actually, if we're talking predictions, I think that they're both going to get in.
Yeah,
I do.
I think so.
And you know, I guess the dark horse would be Scott Kazmir.
He pitched well today.
In terms of another. Dude, his ERA is sub-3. He's got to be around 270 after today, or 260. Really good. Yeah, we'll see. Next segment, and this is a big question. Can this team turn it around?
Yeah. You know, my heart wants to say yes.
And by turn it around, we mean playoff team.
Oh, we mean playoffs, yeah. We mean getting into the wild card, number two, at the very least.
Whatever it takes, but to play after game 162.
You know, my heart wants to say yes, especially with the momentum that seems to be building this month. But, you know, I did a little bit of research a little bit. Now, again, this is not like fancy computer. This is just me looking up games.
He did this for hours.
And I wanted to look for like a Cespedes effect, right? Where there's a win, like there's a significant win difference when there's a certain player in the game.
Right.
And I looked at Billy Burns and I also looked at Zobrist because I said before the season started that Zobrist was going to be our Cespedes and that he's going to be the player that really drives this team.
Which I wouldn't disagree with.
Yeah, which he's doing.
He's such
but
a
then
huge
I looked
factor.
At the record, and so the record since Burns has been hitting regularly in the leadoff since Coco Crisp hit the DL.
That second time. Yeah.
Yeah
since
and,
Coco
and
hit the, for the
I
second
I think it was
time.
May 20th.
Yeah.
The record is only 16-14.
Right.
So we're only two games above 500, which is better than five.
It's better than five, you know, and like 30.
And then I looked at the record with Zobrist. It's better. It's 15-11.
Okay.
With Zobrist since May 25th, since he came off the DL, which again is progress. And then I looked at the month of June, and this is including today's game. We're 11-8, which is three games above 500. Now we've dug ourselves such a huge hole, 10.5 games, that it's even though it seems that we're playing better, we're only a couple games over 500 because we're still blowing games.
Yeah.
You know, even though we're playing better defense, our bats are often alive. We're just making those mental mistakes. We're not finishing off the games, and it just doesn't seem like this is a team from like 2012, which totally turned it around and was driven to win. Like that team believed that it was going to win. And I just don't sense that from this team.
I don't
sense that it factor in that team that, you know, I'm confident that we can not only put away games at the end of games, but we could come back and win games. I don't see that. However, I will say this. I think the Astros are going to collapse. I don't think they're gonna finish in first place. So the teams that we have to look at really are the Angels and the Rangers. I think the Rangers are in second right now. I think there might be. So I think we're like 7.5 games behind.
Man.
I think we're 7.5 games behind the Rangers. Right.
We are 7.5,
yeah.
Right? And they're what, like 2.5 behind?
And then
the
they're
Astros
two.
Or
they're two
like
or three.
That.
So it's
something
it's like something.
That.
I don't know. These are just numbers.
That's
so it's like
that's
in the ballpark
figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we could get, I don't think the division's very good this year.
Yeah, that was the point that I was going to bring up. You know, if you hadn't touched on it, which is that the wild card, I think, in all this, pardon the pun, the wild card in this is who's going to come out on top in this division, and that is not clear at all. I mean, it's wide open right now because the Astros are really struggling right now.
If we were to put a streak together of, say, if we were to get in the ballpark of between 6 and 8 games behind by the end of June, I would say that we have a chance, a small chance. But I don't know, man. I look at the numbers and they tell me something different, like at least in regards to our record.
Gotcha. So you are saying, okay, so what I'm hearing is maybe they can, maybe they can't. Which side do you think you would fall
on?
I'm saying,
this hurts me so. I mean, I'm all about heart, man. I just follow my gut. But, you know, I don't think that's going to happen.
I agree. My gut says no on this, not just purely numbers. My gut says no. My gut says that we're going to trade away some of our good players because we're not going to get there. Do I think it's still theoretically possible? I agree. It is theoretically possible only because this team is better than they have played. They are. And if you, and coupled that with, if this division ends up being where the team that goes to, that wins the division is 500 or one or two games over 500, which has happened before, then yes, this team would be in the mix. But do I, but in my gut, do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't. I mean, even if the Astros lose today, we're still 9.5 back, which sounds fine. I'm not looking at how many games back we are. I'm looking at where we at under 500.
And as an A's fan, I know we could hit a hot streak, but our bullpen, we just don't have anybody in our bullpen.
I just don't believe we can hit that hot streak.
It's there's no one in our bullpen.
Yeah.
How are we going to close games?
Because it's not sustainable. Right. Our starting pitching has been phenomenal. And our offense, while it did cool off over these 4 weeks, and we did go through some periods where we definitely struggled, our offense is still solid, but we don't have the bullpen.
Yeah.
It's just, and those guys are not going to figure it out. We're not going to have the kind of bullpen that's going to get us 8 wins in a row.
It's sad, man. I mean, you look at Jesse Hahn has really stepped it up.
Our starting pitching
it up going
has
into
been phenomenal.
Graveman has come back and been a different player.
Yeah, man. So, okay, so the second half of that then, the next question is, okay, so not saying this is going to happen, but if the A's are not able to put together the streak they need before the end of July to get into contention, who do you think leaves? Who do you think we trade off?
Well, we definitely are trading off Zobrist and Kazmir.
And Clippard.
And Clippard.
Clippard's on the one year guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think those are the first ones to go.
Yeah. Anyone else? I would be sad to see anybody else going. If we were to give away
someone threw
a vote
out Jesse Chavez, which I could absolutely see Bean spinning Jesse Chavez off.
He's a cheap player, though. He's a cheap, good player. And the question is, how many years does he have left of team control?
Right. I don't think he's got.
I don't think he came up in what 2011. Yes, you probably 2000. No, not 2011.
We got him from somebody where he had played before.
Yeah, I remember that first week he came up, he gave up some runs, and I was really pissed off. Like, who's this Chavez guy?
I'm not necessarily thinking so much contract with Jesse Chavez, but as he is an above average middle of the rotation guy.
Yeah, which we need.
Well, right, but everybody needs,
yeah, but
especially
like,
playoff teams.
Well,
so we might be able to get some good return from Jesse Chavez, and he doesn't decimate our rotation.
Well, here's the thing: you have to. We have a lot of young arms, and if these young, we have Nolan, Bassett, all even Zito. Waiting in AAA, and so we have an abundance of.
I miss Z.
I know.
I'm smiling over here at the mention of Zito.
We have an abundance of starting pitching, so it seems. I don't know if it's good. It's not going to be as good as a Jesse Chavez or a Kazmir.
Right.
But we would have to trade from our position of strength, which would and depth, which would be starting pitching,
starting pitching in our offense, which just guts me.
Yeah.
But that's not what the question.
I don't see us trade. I hope we don't trade a Butler.
Butler's not going anywhere.
We can't trade. Well, yeah, because he's making too much money.
And he's not performing right now.
I don't think we're gonna trade a vote because we have team control a vote until 2019.
I agree. I don't think vote's going anywhere.
I would be
maybe next
really
year.
Angry if we traded a vote.
I don't think we're gonna trade vote. Unless it was for some superstar catcher prospect that was ready to play in the big leagues, because otherwise we don't have a catcher.
Then why trade for him if there's some superstar, you know, catcher?
Right,
the other team.
Exactly. That's why I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, unless
but
we
remember,
get one for a pitcher, or
Billy
something.
Bean or Billy Bean does not like superstar players. So
yeah, superstar prospects.
We might get several mediocre players.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I don't think vote's going anywhere.
Average MLB players, then maybe we'll pull the trigger. But I think it's those three: Clippard,
I wouldn't
Kazmir,
be what I will say about that is I actually wouldn't be surprised if one of those 1 year players actually stays, like Tyler Clippard, maybe for example, or maybe even Scott Kazmir.
Well, I think
because of these compensation picks and qualifying offers, and that maybe Tyler Clippard, maybe we deal Tyler Clippard because maybe he would take one. But there's been a lot of talk about that we may not part with, you know, at least one of these guys that we have on a 1 year deal because of the compensation pick.
Yeah.
And that where the qualifying offer is projected to be at, these players would be definitely asking for more than that.
Well, it's a great bargaining chip at the very least.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And I think, you know, it would be hard to give up a Clipper just because we have nobody in the bullpen. I could see.
Well, right, you're selling out on the season if you do that. Yeah. You're trying to build for next year.
But even so, like, what do you, why? That would be. How would you fill the stadium? Like, I know A's fans are pretty passionate, but what are you telling A's fans if you have absolutely nobody to close games?
You think that Billy Beane considers what A's fans are going to think
as a business? I think I know that's outrageous, but like, what do you? I mean, it just hurts me to even think.
I know. I guarantee you, they're not thinking about that at all. He's going to do it if he the right players. I God bless him. He picks the players he wants and he sticks with them.
Yeah,
and
but
if
I,
you give him the players yeah, that he wants, you get those he'll
emails,
pull the trigger.
You get those emails from the Oakland A's trying to, you know, get a suite and all that stuff.
Oh yeah,
like, I get those all the time, and it's like
we got Sonny.
It makes a difference.
We got for Sonny. The A's. That's why.
And I.
Oh
I've
no
even
no
called,
no! I'm not arguing that.
I've even
that
called
makes
Mike.
A difference.
I've even called Mike and been like, he's my ticket guy. I've been called him and been like, hey, man, like, you want me to buy these tickets, but look what...
Who's going to be there?
Look what's going on to the game. That's the point that I'm making.
I hear
it's
what
like
you're
you
saying.
It's like you can't just... I think you just...
Billy
just
Bean's never done that before. He's never thrown in the towel on a season before. I've never seen him do that. He's done it on a team in the offseason. But, like, even from... I guess I was coming from more of a competitive point of view, that you would do something like that to try and be competitive the next year. But you're right. I've never seen him do something like that in the middle of a season.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my major point is that we trade from starting pitching first. We trade from our offense first before we go to bullpen. We have to really get blown away for Tyler Clippard, and we're not going to. You know what I mean? We're not.
We'll see.
He's.
I think Tyler Clippard's getting shipped. We'll see. I will eat crow if I'm wrong.
It's for other relievers then.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, yeah, no, I mean, that was going to be my follow-up, but we're a little over time, which was going to be, well, who are we going to be trading for? And you better believe bullpen arms are going to be in these trade deals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our old-timey A segment.
Old-timey!
Old-timey A's! Our favorite segment, Joe's favorite segment. Good question today. What's our question today?
Best center fielder in Oakland Athletic history.
Yeah, that's tough. Me first. Okay. Well, the first, believe it or not, the first one that came to mind was T-Long.
Oh, God.
Which, not for a good reason, unfortunately. I mean, he was a solid center fielder for us defensively. Like, I will always remember...
Really?
I will always remember T-Long jumping over the fence in Fenway to bring that home run ball. Like, that's what I think of it in Terrence Long in center field. I hesitate to choose Hendu because of how much I know Bash Brother Valdez loves that era. So I won't. I would pick the center fielder off of what I thought was our best team. Since those teams in the 80s, and then obviously the teams in the 70s were the best ever. Johnny Damon on that 2001 team, continue to be such a talented player with the Yankees and the Red Sox. He was part of a really special team in 2001. Johnny Damon. And he hit leadoff for us, I believe.
Yeah, he did.
That season. He had a great season, too. And I believe we had him the entire season. Mm-hmm. I know we did, in fact. And then we lost him afterwards. So that would be my pick. Maybe an unconventional pick because he's definitely not he's not as iconic as Dave Henderson, even though Dave Henderson only played a couple seasons for the A's. Damon only played one season for us, but yeah, that would be my pick. How about you, Joe?
Well, it's a tough call for me, actually. Dave Henderson, actually, I think, played six seasons with the A's.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't realize he played that long.
94.
Okay. All right.
I think. And Hendu, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's Hendu with the, you know, that the arms, like the elbows down, stance.
I guess
I think
of Hendu, he really seems to have made his
smile,
name with some.
Always smiling.
Who did he make his name with? The Padres?
Seattle, I think,
or somebody. Seattle. I guess that's where I was coming from. Like, he's just so well known for that the other team that he played for.
He's pretty known for the A's.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's. I mean, you Google him,
especially those, of us that grew up in that era.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you look at a guy that's always smiling, just loves the game, and produces pretty good numbers. I think he was constantly hitting at least
that
over 20
gap
home
in
runs.
His teeth, man.
I didn't want to say it.
I loved it. No, I
so
loved
great.
It.
Yeah,
I loved it.
It's between him and Coco Crisp.
Okay.
I really like Cocoa Crisp.
Good call. I did not think of Cocoa Crisp.
If it wasn't
for that, man.
It wasn't for that basket drop in Detroit, I would say it would be Cocoa Crisp because he's been electric for us the last three seasons. And even
Hendu,
before,
by the
way,
played five seasons, 88 to 93.
That was 94. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I would say it's a tough call between those two. I'm going to go with Cocoa.
I totally endorse that choice because Coco for a good stretch of like 4 years was basically the best center fielder in baseball.
Yeah.
Or at least
and
in the American League.
I mean, he played tremendous defense. Other than his arm, he played tremendous defense.
Great offense.
And
speed.
I mean, that 1 year he hit like, what, 15 home runs?
No, dude, he hit like
23 or something. That's right.
4, 25, 26.
Yeah,
he
really
runs.
Came up, man. And
Babe Chris,
it was so unfortunate that he was hurt so much. Obviously, this year
always,
and also last
he's
year.
Always dealt with issues.
So
that's really the only knock on him.
Yeah. But I'm going to go Coco. I think he's probably my favorite center fielder of all time.
Good call.
Yeah.
Surprising pick, and I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. So then we'll wrap things up today with some predictions. So, yeah. So looking at our schedule. We've got tomorrow off, which is always nice, except for us fans. I hate it when we have days off.
Yeah,
because there's no baseball that day. But
the players, it's good for our players, I suppose.
So we've got after taking two of three. Let's see what we did in this last week. We went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 2 in 8 games. That's impressive.
Well, we also played the Padres and the Angels.
Yeah, no, agreed, which are two very mediocre teams. Yeah, coming up, so we got 3 against the Rangers and 3 against the Royals. Before then, we go and we play the Rockies. We stay at home and play the Rockies, which will be nice, and the Mariners, another very mediocre team. So, but we're gonna look at this next upcoming week, which is tough, man. That's the Rangers and the Royals.
I think this is, this is going to be a tough week, but I think we have momentum. I think if somehow we win 2 out of 3 from each series,
that'd be huge.
I think that's huge for our season, and I think it definitely gives us some momentum.
Well, we're definitely playing better right now.
Here's the thing: I think we take 2 of 3 from the Rangers, and I think we come out fired up against the Royals because of what happened to Lori.
Right, and it'll be at home too.
I feel like we take 2 out of 3. I think we go.
Do I have that right? How weird. We've got a 3-game road trip.
Yeah. Just right in the middle.
So
weird.
Yeah,
then we come back.
Yeah. I'm going to go, I think, optimistically 3-3. Hmm. I think we win one series and lose the other.
4-2. That's my call.
4-2. Man, that's right. Hope you're right.
I hope I'm right, too.
I think we might be up more on the 2-4
side of things,
but we'll see.
I think...
These are two very hot teams, and they're good.
My gut says we lose 2 out of 3 from Texas, and we take 2 out of 3.
From the Royals, man.
I would
flip-flop. You said taking 2 out of 3 from both, right?
No, but my gut says we probably lose 2 out of 3 from Texas, but I never listen to my gut. I'm going with my brain and my heart.
That's right. Mostly
my heart.
All over the place. I'm pretty sure earlier in this podcast you said you go from the heart. Well, I don't know where I come from. It's an amalgamation.
I just said I come from my heart. I don't go from my gut. I come from my heart.
Okay. Not the bowels. He does not make his decision from his gut.
Nope.
Folks. Nope. Well, that is our show today. It's so good, Joe, to be sitting across from you doing this again.
Yeah. It's a good feeling.
And hopefully you guys... You faithful listeners, because I do know that you're out there. I see stats. People do listen to this podcast. We apologize for taking so long to be back.
It's all Ira's fault.
We'll blame it on me. And hopefully we'll be able to get back into more of a consistent rhythm.
I look forward to it.
Me too. And go A's. We've been playing better finally.
Yeah.
I mean, 16-15 since we last had, you know, or 16-15, 16-14, whatever it's been. I mean, that's still better than where we were, which was just going down to the handbasket. So good for the A's. We've got some fight in us.
We're
gonna
do it, man. We're gonna be a plus 500 team.
I hope so.
It might be one game above 500.
So I say the Angels,
the Giants,
and let's go Oakland.
Let's go Oakland.